Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to episode 3 of Hashtag RealPod. I'm your host, Victoria Garrick, and today's guest is Perry Matfeld. She's the star of the new CW hit series, In the Dark, so she's on the same network as Jane the Virgin, and her show is going to be on Netflix soon. So if you love binge-watching great shows, make sure you look for hers called In the Dark. It's a hilarious drama. I don't know how that's possible, but she does it. You might even recognize her from her appearance on season 8 of the Emmy award-winning show Shameless. Not to mention, she has a huge billboard of herself plastered on Sunset Boulevard. She's killing the game. And I was so excited to bring an actress onto the podcast because I think athletes and actresses actually have so much more in common than we might think. So it was incredible to hear all about Perry's journey. We talk about the cutthroat, intense, rejection-filled culture of the entertainment industry, the mental games that happen during auditions and on set, and Perry opens up about how she learned to fully accept herself for who she is. And then lastly, her true secrets to fulfillment. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe and follow RealPod on Instagram so you can let me know what you think. Let's get started. I'm so happy that Perry's here today. I feel like I haven't seen you on this campus since I rushed sorority, and you, well, I guess I was your rush crush, or you were also mine. I was like, I love this girl. I want to be in her house.
You're like a Kappa cutie.
Yeah, and I remember when I first got in, you sent me, I think, a little letter and some cookies or something, and I was like,
oh, I made cookies.
Yeah, you did.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I was just so pumped because I thought you were super cool and you were a song girl. And yeah, all that fun stuff. Was that your senior year?
That would have been... Did you just graduated?
Yeah, that was your senior year, right?
Oh God, I'm old. I'm really old.
You're not that old.
I'm old. I mean, I'm officially don't know anyone at SC anymore. So that's how you know.
Yeah, that
so
is.
I used to, for a while, I knew some, like the freshman, like your grade was still sophomores and then juniors and then seniors. And so when I was looking at the Kappa Instagram, I recognized, I was like, oh, I still know her. I'm still relevant. I don't know anyone anymore, so.
Yeah, I feel like when you're younger...
I have no connections.
You know, well, everyone probably here knows you. I think we all know the people above us, the older people, but then you start going to, like, I remember my senior year, I'm going to the frat parties, like, these people are children.
The fact that I thought I could do anything, or that I thought, you know, I just remember even senior year of high school being like, I'm a woman. You know, and I'm ready, and I'm gonna get married, and now I'm just like, I was a child.
I know, that's still how I feel, but...
I still, yeah, you're right, I still feel, yeah.
So when you left, mm-hmm. was your goal from there, I want to be acting, or were you doing some other job, and then you went back to acting?
No, so I was a kid actor, technically, you can Google Wizards of Waverly Place and Franken Girl, and yes, that's me. And yes, people still rub it in my face all the time. But it was always really important for me to go to school, and I a lot of actors in my acting program that I was in high school or that were, you know, working in the industry that were kid actors. School wasn't, like, something that... Nobody asks on your auditions, you know, what classes you took in college. Like, no one really cares. But it was important for me, just in terms of, like, development, I feel like. And so I took a full four-year break. And then after school, I did... I worked in a restaurant, and I was doing really, really crappy modeling jobs. And I was walking dogs and babysitting. And there were even a couple auditions I went on that I got parking tickets on. So I ended up leaving with, like, habits. Like, my audition that I didn't get cost me about $480.
Oh, gosh. LA.
So, I mean, I was miserable, but working really hard, and I felt like I was paying forward into what, you know.
At that time, did you have your current agent?
So my senior year at SC, we did our showcase, and the BFA students are given about, like, 90 seconds to 3 minutes to do something. Like, come up with something that showcases your talent.
And you don't get any guidance, no teachers. It's just up to you to decide.
We have one of the professors kind of walks you through it, and I remember my classmates were all picking, like, the stuff from theater, and I had said I wanted to do a scene from Bridesmaids, and that was not really the status quo. That's not what you do. It's a theater conservatory. You need to do something that is from either Shakespeare or classical theater, or at least comes from a playwright, something. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of, like, really dig Kristen Wiig. I kind of want to do a scene from Bridesmaids. So I got a lot of backlash for that. But I did it, and my agent brought me into... He was sitting in the audience at that LA showcase, and he brought me into Innovative, and he said... I walked into this big, round conference table, and he said, this is Perry. I don't have a resume for her. I don't have a reel for her. She's not in a play right now. I have nothing to show you of her or for her, but I saw something in her 90 seconds, and I would like you guys to trust me.
That's incredible. What scene was it?
It's the, you know, the toasting scene where they're, like, competing over, like, who's a better
friend. Who's the best friend?
She's like, speaking of Consuelo. You know what I mean? You know,
yes. She's hilarious.
So funny.
I loved all of her SNL skits.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty scary to do comedy. I mean, that's definitely, it's challenging. It's a very in-your-face reflection of whether or not people are enjoying it, as if you hear audible laughter. So... It's scary to a lot of people, but I kind of just said it's something I like. I don't know what it's going to come from it, but it's one of my favorite movies. I've seen it so many times, so I'm just going to try it.
So from there, you go on the audition process. Mm-hmm. And did you feel like you had any preparation for how hard that was going to be from school, or did that just kind of slap you in the face?
I mean, I don't think that is incorporated into, like, theater training. Like, I had a meeting with a casting director today who goes out and does workshops for actors just specifically on how to audition, because the audition process is so different from what it's like to be on a set. But that is the mind trip that is, and the lack of any sort of feedback. I mean, you, for example, you know, you get an audition and say, I have it for 3 days before I have to audition, and I'm carrying that. And say it's a dramatic role, so I'm carrying that and obsessing over it. I go in... someone gives me a minute, 30 seconds of their time, and then I leave and I don't ever hear again. I don't hear if it went well. I don't hear if it went really bad. I don't hear if there was anything I could do differently. I don't even hear if they made the project. I just don't ever hear again. And no one really tells you that.
So that must have been extremely hard, because you're wondering, maybe, why am I not picking up these roles? I've been modeling for a year or two now, and what can I be doing?
Yeah, I went one full year without even a callback. So I probably went on maybe 50 auditions, and I didn't hear anything.
Did you feel discouraged, like, this is not for me, or were you thinking, this is what I'm getting into and I'm down?
I just didn't know what I was doing wrong. I mean, I was like, okay, maybe it's because I'm, you know, quote-unquote, a white female. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm too tall, which has always been an insecurity of mine. I didn't know what else I could do, and I remember I was just agonizing over what else I could do to change myself, to make me... desirable for a casting director? What can I wear? Or how can I do my hair differently? Do I need to go back brunette? Because I was blonde for a while, which was obviously fake. I was like, do I look too commercial? Like, I just was obsessing over what can I do differently to make myself fit? I know now that there's no such thing.
When did you learn that?
I've told you this story before, but I had an audition
I love this story.
Shameless.
Please tell
which
again.
Was my first, I guess, like, kind of big break, which was funny because that came right around the year mark when I hadn't booked anything. And I not only booked anything, I didn't even get a call back. And in an audition process, there's, like, my current show, I did 10 auditions for that. So I did audition, call back, casting director session, producer callback, and then network tests. So 1 year of auditions, I didn't get any of those. I didn't get anything. I didn't hear anything.
Wow.
So then I got this audition for Shameless, and the description just said bitchy lesbian. That's all it said. Didn't have anything else. Didn't break down, like, you know, an age, or didn't say, like, you know, blonde, short blonde, you know, busty. It didn't say anything.
Right.
Like, it had
you're going
no
in blind.
Description. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to get that. Because, one, I don't necessarily associate as being lesbian, but I had developed my own kind of ignorant idea of what that should be. So I showed up to the audition and was like, why am I even here? I don't know this show. I don't have a script. I'm not going to get this. And I'm sitting in the lobby with all these girls that just looked nothing like me. So, like, shaved heads. There were girls that had, like, full sleeve tattoos, blue hair.
You told me piercings.
Piercings, just everything, the whole spectrum, but everyone looked so different from me. And I just said, this is a waste of my time. Not that I am doing anything else, because I'll just probably be walking dogs, but it's a waste of my time. And I'm not going to get this. So I was going over my, you know, little page of dialogue that I was given with no information. And I said, okay, well, I'm obviously so not what they want, considering how everyone else looks and what I... whoever I think I am and what I think they want, well, it's not me. So it was one of the auditions that I didn't obsess over so much of, you know, what do they want or what do they want to see? I just said, since I'm not going to get this, I might as well just screw it and do whatever I would do or whatever I think this character would do without any sort of information. And it was one of the most bold auditions I've ever done. And I remember the character in the moment is, like, really frustrated because they're running late, and I in the moment was so frustrated that I was just like, screw you guys, and I walked out. I, like, left as if I was so
you left the
anxious.
People who were
in the middle of the audition.
Oh wow.
I was just like, we're late, oh my god, and I walked out.
And you didn't return?
No, I came back.
Oh.
I even remember, like, I had gotten so into it that I was standing outside of the door that I had just closed it, but I was just like, oh my god. I just left my own audition. Anyways, I came back in and I was like, sorry, and they were like, that was amazing.
Wow.
And I just said, okay, thanks. Like, peace. Whatever. I'm not going to get this. Like, see you guys never. Go cast your lesbian. And by the end of that day, I had been put on hold by Showtime.
Wow. To be on Shameless with Emmy Rossum, Jessica, all those people. That must have been incredible. So you get there. What are your first thoughts on set knowing who you're about to be working with?
I just, you know, I'm a newbie, so I'm, like, only a little over a year out of school. I'm not a name. I'm around people that not only are much more quote-unquote successful than I am, but know better, are working more than I am, have more years at this, are more recognizable. And I was just this newbie. And I even remember calling one of my acting professors and being like, what am I supposed to do on set tomorrow? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I got the job. Like, what do I do tomorrow? I have to be there at 8 a.m. What do I do? And he's like, you do what you did in the audition. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I panicked a little bit. I just hadn't. That was kind of my first time on a set with people like that.
Is there a sense of security? Like, with sports, when we're put in the game, I feel like there's no security. I could just be pulled from the game at any minute. When you're on set and they're filming, they can't just replace you, right? I mean, familiarize me with this. If you were to have a terrible day, like, hypothetically speaking, they couldn't just say, we need a new girl to play bitchy lesbian.
That happens all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So even after my pilot that I did of my show of In the Dark, when they picked up the show to go to series, they called all of us to say, we've congratulations, we're, you know, the CW has bought 13 episodes, so we're going to go ahead and make the show. But they recast one person.
Wow, after the first stage of filming. That's crazy.
It happens all the time. And a lot of times, like even with Shameless, I was only cast as a guest star for one episode. And then based on how I did, that's how I ended up doing more episodes. But it was never guaranteed to me. So sometimes based on how you do, they'll either write less of you or write more of you. So there's no guarantee. Every single day, you're auditioning.
Wow. So same thing for an actor and athlete. There's never this sense of, I'm here, I've made it.
No.
You could get written off. You could get pulled off.
You can
off.
Get a call that says, congratulations, we're going to the championship, but you're not playing.
Yeah.
And that's what happens all the time with pilots. So congratulations, we picked up your show, but we're recasting you.
So how did you even keep yourself sane during those 10 to 13 auditions you had for your current role as Murphy?
I think I wasn't afraid to ask for help or just say, you know, we had a different director for every episode, and I wasn't afraid to say, look, I don't really know how to do this scene. I don't really know how to approach this. Can you help me? Can you explain to me how you think, are there options for this?
Did you ever feel self-conscious? Like if you asked those questions, they would question if you were the right choice. Like you should know those things?
Of course, definitely. And I even remember, you know, there's even my co-star, Rich Sommer, is, you know, he's kind of a bigwig from Mad Men. So he's also a vet. And there's me that's like technically the lead, and yet I don't know nearly as much as him. But I think just respecting him and also looking to him and saying, you know, I'm open to doing this with you. And when we both enter a scene, we're both not going to necessarily know how it's going to go unless we both are just open to finding it right then.
What was the work schedule like filming the pilot and then the following episodes?
So to film, it takes 8 days to film. This is generally speaking for most network television, it takes 8 days to film a 1 hour episode. And so we did 12 episodes because we had already done the pilot after shooting season one, and of 98 consecutive 16 hour shoot days, I did not work three. So I had 3 days off.
Wow. Were you...
People don't understand, which is so crazy because there was a scene I remember, and I'm in Toronto, so it's so cold. And there's a scene where my character is like laying in the alley of this like nasty dirt alley, and it's snowing on me, and I feel the sewer water from the alley running up my neck,
oh,
like,
God.
Through my hair, and I just feel it like lapping against me, and it's snowing on me, and I'm laying in the dirt of the alley. And I was like, I'm an actor.
They're like,
I want this.
They're like, Perry, your tears, the misery, it's so real. You're doing a great job. You're like, this is actually how I feel.
Because I just thought about all the people that have said to me in the past, like, I really want to get into acting. I'm like, what part do you think you want? Because yes, the moments of fulfillment are so wonderful and so uplifting, but it is some of the most, like, testing, challenging, like, it beats you up, you know, especially the actual filming part of it. Okay, yes, some of the award shows are great, or getting to walk down a red carpet and feel beautiful. Like, that's special, but that's such a small part of it. And I'm sure you feel like that as an athlete too. Like, yes, McKay Center is like really nice. And like,
right,
yes,
right.
You know, it's so fun to get the warm up with the music, but like, you don't see the other stuff.
That goes into it totally.
Yeah.
What was probably the most grueling moment that you experienced filming this first season that was kind of like similar to that? Like, this, you got to make it through. Not every actor can make it through this day.
There's a scene in episode 6 of In the Dark where I went into Lake Ontario, and that was in like end of October. So it's like a freshwater, very cold lake. And you can see, there's a video that someone took where you can see, if you turn to see the crew that's on the beach, they're all in like full parkas, like as if they're landing on the moon, like full, you know, snow parkas. And I was in a bikini. And I'm spreading ashes in the water. And we did it over and over again. And I was so cold, but I remember thinking, I don't want anyone to be able to say, we could have gotten another shot. but Perry was too cold. Or there was a really cool drone shot we wanted to get from above looking over Perry, but she needed the day off. Or I didn't want anyone to be able to say that I didn't try or that I didn't give it 100%. So we did that quite a few times, and that was really, really tough.
Did you feel sort of like you are the captain, like you are the lead, that every day if people are looking towards you to set the standard?
Yep. And for that very reason, I did something every episode called the crew member of the episode. So I would do a little announcement at the end of the episode and give a little gift and a card to one crew member. Because if I showed them that I was invested in our whole crew and that I
was noticing that.
Was noticing them, and it would never be a producer or a director. It was someone like, you know, the B cam dolly grip or the assistant in costuming in B unit or something like that. It would be someone that wouldn't necessarily think they'd be noticed. And I think showing everyone that it takes a village and we all need to show up and be responsible. That sort of leadership, I wanted to make sure everyone knew that, you know, I needed them just as much as they need the actors. I mean, the actors are a very small part of it.
So you go from calling your coach because you're not sure what to do your first day on set to totally having the reins now at In the Dark. Mm-hmm. How did you get to that point? And when did you finally feel like you came into your own and that this was your ship and you were steering it?
I've said this before too about this role, because, you know, they really stripped me of like my makeup. They put a rinse in my hair, so they lost all my highlights. Like, I got really pale. They didn't really cover up my acne too much. Like, they would leave it to make it look real. I was in a lot of just like hoodies and sweatshirts, and yet, so I'm this character, but physically I'm still Perry. It's still my body. It's still me. But I'm stripped of any sort of, I'm not made up at all, and yet I'm given the lines of a character that's like so vocal. So I was expected to be so bold and so vocal and confident and loud while in my most vulnerable physical form, if that makes sense.
Totally.
And that's never really happened to me before. When I'm not really wearing makeup and I go to the store, my head's usually down. That's not when I feel confident to go be like, hey, I see that you... you know, your shirt says Long Beach. I'm from Long Beach. Like, I'll hide from people, you know? And yet here I was stripped of that and yet given the voice of someone that is so bold and unapologetic. And it was very, very freeing for me. And I was in this vulnerable state, and yet everyone was looking to me to be told what to do next.
This brings up a great point. I'm really interested to see your answer. As an athlete, I feel like if mentally I'm not doing my best or my mental health is low, I could maybe compartmentalize and say, okay, my mental health's not in a good place, but physically I can move my arms, move my feet, perform this task to the ability they want. As an actor, what your tool and your skill is your mentality, right? It's the character you're being, the emotions you're showing. So when your personal emotions aren't where you want to be, right? You just said your confidence is low. Something's up. How do you manage tapping into a whole other mental persona and showing emotions that you really don't feel? I'm so interested because I obviously know nothing about acting, but I feel like it's that mental toughness aspect is so similar for what you're doing and what an athlete does.
But I'm sure you would say there's a person that you can tap into on the court versus when you're off the court. I mean, there's definitely...
like an alter ego.
Yeah, and there's definitely something that I have to work on to like snap in and out of, especially even with a character like Murphy, who is, a lot of it was really heavy and was really sad. And I think if you don't learn to snap in and out of that, if you don't learn that when I'm on the court and I have to be this way, it's okay to snap out and say, I need a day to myself, or I just need, I think you need to practice separating the two things. And it is really hard, but I also think if once you're on set and doing something, if you don't get good at snapping out of that, that's when I think things can get kind of messy.
So would you say your style is you can be Perry and you can be Murphy on mm-hmm. set all day long. Mm-hmm. I've read some articles on, I know famously Heath Ledger, right? He was the Joker mm-hmm. from 24 hours a day on set. And some people say, like, you know, that really affected Heath because he was two people at once. Mm-hmm. Do you have to be, like, a super skilled actor to be able to, in between scenes, snap into character and then snap into Perry?
I don't think it has anything to do with how skilled you are, but I think it's something you have to practice. And I think it's something that's important to get good at and make sure you work on, because it can, that can become really tough. And that can get messy, where all of a sudden the lines kind of blur. And that's why I think your support system out of set is really important.
Did you have days where you ever felt like you were in a funk? Like, I'm being Murphy, but I don't feel her. I don't feel like I'm the character in the way I want to be. Does that kind of...
There were so many times where, you know, when you're doing take after take after take, usually you wait for a feeling that's like, that was it. We got it. Next scene. And there were some days where it just clicked and I felt that. And then there were some days where I was just like, I don't know if this is the same show because I don't know where I am. Like, I've never acted before. Like, there was just some days where it was so off. But I did have a professor at SC named David Warshawski, and he had said, you can't always go based on a feeling. You know, you have to take your own feelings with a grain of salt sometimes. And so I usually always tell myself, if I'm having a day like that, that's okay. But I'll feel better when I wake up the next morning. And I usually do.
Do you practice any sort of mindfulness?
I'm working on it.
Because I'd be interested to know if, when you're in a scene, sometimes like that funk you're talking about, if you're in the scene and you're thinking, now grab the water, am I doing this right? What's my expression like? Like, mm-hmm. are your thoughts going a million miles per hour in a scene?
It's so overstimulating. And then, you know, not only is it, are you being told so many different things, then people are physically touching you, right, in so many different ways. There's someone, like, messing with your eyelashes versus, like, adjusting your mic and your back, and there's just, like, lights in your face, and then you're supposed to act natural with this other person and see what comes out of the moment. And that's hard to manage too.
I bet. I can't even fathom having to memorize.
But I'm sure you feel the same way when you're on the court. Like, you have, how many people are on but there's one side with you? Six?
But there's a sense of freedom, right? Like, they've trained me to know how to react to certain things, and then it's game time and anything can happen. Versus you have your script. It's different, right? I think improv might be different. Mm-hmm. You put in hours for improv and then you improv comedy and you freeball a scene. But when you have it scripted, I don't know, is there a way you could do a scene probably a million different ways. Mm-hmm. So you show up and then I think it's interesting. You have to be in the state of, here's the script, but I also have to take into account, what are their emotions? What are they feeding me? And then how am I going to deliver these lines?
And I also had a professor that said, your job is to make your other person look good. You are there to set them up to do a good job or for them to look good. So I was comparing that to whatever you do. I don't know the terms.
You are the center. You are setting up the spike.
Set bump spike. Is that the order?
Bump set spike.
Okay, bump set spike. I'm almost six feet tall, and I never played volleyball. I screwed up. Anyways,
great.
But right. I felt like with my co-star, Brooke, I knew that she had my back, and I knew that she was there to set me up to feed my next punchline, or I was there to help her so that fueled just enough emotion that it would help her get to where she needed to go by that line.
So, of course you did, because I know you and you're a great human being, and you're so kind, and you're giving, and you're generous. But there have to be actors that come mm-hmm. onto set, and they want to be the star.
Of course.
And that, did you have any of those in the dark? You don't have to name them, but how is it working with people when you know they're not going to be bringing the same positivity and generosity that you're going to bring?
That definitely does happen, and I'm sure it's just like teammates. You have selfish teammates.
I am amazed at how similar it is between acting mm-hmm. and athletics. I never thought they were similar in so...
And I've said that, too, about this cast in general. I do feel like they're teammates to me. I do feel like we're an ensemble. And yes, there's definitely, like, I shoot more days than some of them, but I do appreciate that. The storyline is something we're sharing, and it's going to be that much better if we share it. If someone tries to hog it, usually they don't come out as good.
Did you have a moment where you learned that? Because I used to really be that person that thought, spotlight's on me. I've got to want to do this. I want to win. And then I had certain encounters. I met certain people that influenced me, that I idolized, that lent a hand to me. And I said, oh my God, I've been doing this all wrong. Like, I want to be like that. I want to include. I want to bring people with me. Were you always this way, or did it switch for you?
I think when I realized how much I didn't know, and when I realized, you know, especially being around all these, I'm the youngest by maybe 9 years in my cast. So being around other actors that have, this is, you know, maybe their sixth pilot that they've done, where this was my first pilot. I just realized, okay, you don't necessarily know everything. It's okay to lean on these people. I think, yeah, realizing it's going to be that much better if you do it together than if you try to figure it out all by yourself.
Were you that way at USC when you were studying?
What do you mean, like asking for help?
Yes, just giving and wanting peers to succeed.
It's something I'm still working on. I definitely am a little bit of like I'm a perfectionist for sure. And there'd be times where I'd catch myself wanting to give direction to one of my co-stars and say, yeah, but I feel like it'd be really good if you said it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, that is so not my job.
Right.
And not only are you being paid to say it however you want to say it, but who the hell do I think I am over here telling you how you should say your line?
Right.
And so I'd have to catch myself in that. But that was my own insecurity, that the scene wasn't going to be good, that the scene was going to reflect poorly of me. But once I trusted, these actors are there to make me look good, and their job is to make me look good as long as I let them do what they know how to do and let them look good, then the whole scene came out better.
It's cool.
Something I'm still working on.
Yeah, but you will be fine. I know you're such a great, you're such a great person. Like, from the moment I met you, you were just trying to make sure I felt welcomed. I felt all the ways you're explaining. I was just going to ask, so you're trying to make people look good mm-hmm. with your performance, but I remember you telling me that in the casting process, you talk about your height. They were casting people after you to make you look good,
yep.
like height-wise.
That was one of the first times that's ever happened to me.
That they accommodated
yeah,
your difference.
Yeah, because even as a kid actor, I was 5'9 when I was 15. So I felt, I hadn't even had my first kiss yet, and I was going out for a girlfriend with a baby. Like, you know what I
mean? The hot girl and the Drake and Josh episode.
I don't even know if I'm a boy or a girl. And I remember going out for a lot of commercials and getting paired with a dad, and because they group you when you go out for commercials. They'll say, okay, we need a daughter, a mom and a dad and a dog. So you guys are going to be group A, you guys are going to be group B. I was always taller than the dad and the mom, of course. But the dad, they'd pair us, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to get this because I'm way taller than my, TV dad. But when I got in the dark, they reopened the casting process for the males, and they requested 6'1 or taller. That's never happened to me. And so when I went to go meet these guys to test with them, I walked into the lobby where all these guys
were. You were like, hello.
And they, no, I've said before, they stood up and they, hey, nice to meet you, Perry, blah, blah, blah. They all shook my hand, and I got so sweaty. I was like, my heart started beating.
It's like a room of male models.
I don't know. It was like, they were all there to maybe be a fit for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, the pressure was off me, the role had been given to me, but again, you're always still auditioning because you never know, but this was now, they were auditioning, and I was there to see whether or not one of them was a good fit.
That's
but the fact that they were, some of them were 6'5", 6'4", 6'3", and I'm always the one that's awkward and way out of place, and that was one of the first times they had tried to find people to make me look good.
That's such an empowering feeling, right? You're sitting there hell yes,
cool.
They're accommodating me.
Yeah, after I did a couple of reads with some of the different guys, I was staying in the audition room with the CBS people and CW people, and then the guys were rotating in and out of the room, and they would look at me and be like, which one do you like? And I was like,
me? I don't know, all of them.
But that's never something I get to be a part of.
So now you know kind of how you fit in within the dark, and you know what they're expecting of you. And I know you guys just got renewed for another season. Congratulations.
Thank
you. That's so exciting.
It's very exciting.
Do you have any idea where the storyline's going, or do you find out?
I know it's our first season's going to go on Netflix right after it finishes airing on the CW.
Oh my gosh.
Will help a lot.
That's
because,
huge.
The commercials, watching with commercials, is just no way to live your life.
I downloaded the CW app. Watching on the CW app.
It's just like the breaks in between where you get into it and then it breaks to like a Dove commercial. It's just like so off.
Right.
So when it goes on Netflix, you'll be able to binge it. And then I do know a little bit about our season two, and it's crazy, it's shocking, but I'm also really happy with it. But we're gonna start back up in August.
That's so exciting.
I've had a couple auditions though since filming, since being back, that have not gone well. I don't think.
Wow. Even being like, yo, I'm the lead of this in the dark CW, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't go away.
What doesn't go away?
I mean, I've gotten a little more confident in, I guess there's this, you know, there's this obsession, especially with younger actors, of trying, I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but one of my co-stars, while we were filming, was saying he loves auditioning. And most actors hate it, right? It's like that's what your money goes to. When you get paid, like people say, you get paid to do the tough stuff, which is the auditions. When you're actually on set filming, that's like paid vacation. But he was like, I actually really enjoy auditioning, because that's me when I get to say, here's what I thought of it, and I get to show my take. And that's where you want to get to be. But most actors obsess over what they want, right? So how can I, you know... I've said that example before too, where I spent hours trying to come up with an outfit that I thought was worked for that casting director. I didn't know if it was too preppy or not too preppy. I wanted to wear like a pink shirt, and I was like, maybe that's too much. Like, maybe just wear a black shirt, curl my hair. Oh, that's too much curl. Like, I obsessed over it. And of course I didn't get that. And I think they could see that I was upset. I was unsure of my own take on that role.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten a little more confident. I think being encouraged on my own show has helped me feel a little more confident in what I have to offer. But that doesn't mean that with every new role that comes my way, it's not, what is this? And how do I, okay, what do you think they want for this?
Isn't it crazy that no matter how accomplished someone is or what they achieve, there's always that sense of like self-doubt? Because I'm sure if we rewound and we talked to Perry first year out of school and we said, yo, you would have thought, if I'm auditioning knowing I just recorded a CW show as the lead, I would walk in there with so much confidence. Mm-hmm. Yet here you are, you have those things, and it's still that battle.
Or have a billboard on Sunset right now of me, and yet I don't have a job, so
it doesn't go away. Yeah, it's well, you have your season two.
Well, but that was before I knew.
But it's like, even that was always my thing with volleyball. No matter what I accomplished, mm-hmm. what game we won, whatever stat, whatever, I still was like, am I good enough? Like, am I gonna play? Like,
and so trying to remember as an actor that your jobs aren't gonna be, whether or not you're told you're right for a part or not right for a part, that can't be what fulfills you. That can't be what gives you your sense of purpose, because I've even seen how those problems change. I remember my first year out of school, if only I could get a call back, I'd feel better. I'd wake up feeling better about myself, like I'm doing the right thing. Then it was, if only I could get a producer session, which means after my callback, I get called back again. Then it was, if only I could just get a guest star just one day on a show. Then it was, oh my God, if only I could just get 4 episodes in a row. then it was, if only I could get a pilot. Then I get my pilot. Oh my God, if only it got picked up. Like, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
And then we did the season, and then it's like, I'm a lead on my show, and I'm in Toronto, and I'm like, what's going to happen when we wrap? I'm not going to have a job. I'm going to be back to, like, not knowing what comes next.
That's why you got to as hard as it
is. And then it was, if only we could get a season two, you know? So that doesn't go away. So I'm still learning and still working on how to find that sense of security in not knowing, and just feeling confident in what I have to offer, no matter how much time passes in between. You know, I've been out for quite a few movies since I've gotten back, and I haven't gotten any.
In your own life, do you feel like you are confident in Perry and who you are as a person? Because it sounds like when you go to these casting auditions, you know, you said you're a little unsure. What do they want? What do they want? In your own life, not as an actress, are you fully at peace with who you are and what you bring to the table?
Not yet. I don't necessarily think I ever will be 100%, but I do feel like, especially this role in a weird will, in a weird way, has given me some confidence of that, especially because, like I said, I was stripped. Physically, I was, like, stripped and in a very vulnerable place, yet I was required to speak up. And so that has definitely, you know, brought that into my own life, because I feel a little bit more confident when I don't have my makeup on, or, like, when I don't feel that great. I'm just like, well, Murphy would say something.
Yeah.
And I am Murphy, so, like, that's helped. But, I mean, I'm still, I went to, when we had our upfronts, which was in New York, like, 2 weeks ago, my stylist wanted me to wear 4-inch heels, and I wouldn't do it. That's still something I'm working on. I just was like, I don't know why. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. And she's like, but Perry, you're going to be walking on the red carpet by yourself. I'm like, yeah, but what if I interview someone and they're uncomfortable because I'm so much taller than them? And she's like, who cares?
Yeah.
But I still, that was as Perry, but I couldn't do it. I just couldn't get myself. I'm still working on that. I'm still trying to find confidence in my own skin, but there's something very freeing about getting to put on a mask of someone else, and you're still physically them, but you're given a voice that's not yours.
Interesting. It's like you're getting an opportunity through someone else, through a different door.
And I am so hypersensitive about what other people think, or like how I make other people feel. Like, are you okay? Are you coming? Are you having a good
day? Yes, I'm having the best time. I'm just thinking about how amazing you are.
No, but that's something of who I am. So this character who's like, I'm good, I don't really care.
Yeah, your character doesn't give a flying anything.
So, you know, I am afraid to ask for help sometimes too. And so, like, the fact that my character was, you know, not only is she more bold and unapologetic, but then there were times where I had to say, I was afraid to say that I need you guys to stop cutting my hour lunch in half, because I didn't want to upset anyone, but I needed an hour for quiet time in my trailer.
Were they just calling you in for extra?
While we have time, let's get an extra fitting. Or since we have an hour break today for lunch, why don't we have you do some voiceover stuff? And I was afraid to say, actually, I really need to take care of myself.
Right, this is your hour. You probably legally get it.
I legally get it. but if I waived it, if I said okay, then I could, you know, go like an unpaid half hour kind of, or just give that away. And that it took me a little while to be able to speak up for myself and say, I need to just either meditate or just take some time in my trailer by myself to just have quiet.
You have to walk in and say, this is my hour. I need my hour.
But that's self-care that is hard. At least for me, it's hard to ask for, I guess, or to say. Just like I said, I didn't want anyone to say, we couldn't get that shot because Perry was too cold. Well, next season, if I do get frostbite again, I'll probably tell them we need to cut. I did it last time.
Oh my gosh. It's hard. It's hard as any person to ask for it. It's hard as a female on a set to ask for it, especially if you're going to a male superior. Mm-hmm. It's hard as a newbie. I think it's we constantly can find reasons why we are not deserving or why we shouldn't ask for something in our lives.
And again, I felt there were times on set where I just felt, my God, thinking back to that first year where I couldn't get a callback and I was walking dogs and babysitting and working in a restaurant and just thinking, all I wanted was this. All I wanted was to be on a set, and now I'm getting worked, like, and how dare I complain? Yeah. So there's that fine line between my gratitude for where I was and where I'm still heading, but at the same time not being afraid to take care of yourself and not being afraid to ask for help or to say, you know what, if you don't mind, can you please drop me off at the grocery store tonight because I need to get some green beans. I don't know, something like
that.
Wouldn't do it. I would say, it's okay, you can just drop me off at home and then I'll walk.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, I said, do you mind, like, it's on the way, I just need to run in, like, get some hot chocolate.
It's so true when you say we have these goals and then we get there and then we either want more or we're not satisfied. if you told me I would have played volleyball at USC, that was my dream, I get there, I'm unhappy. Yeah. I'm wanting other things. Mm-hmm. Like
you get there, why am I not starting? And then yeah. It's, well, okay, well, okay, but...
then you feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Why am I feeling this?
Why am I not the captain?
I should be happy yep. about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just crazy.
And that's how it still is. Like, you know, you wrap your season, and like I said, I haven't gotten any of the movies I've auditioned for.
Could you do that? Could you film your second season and a movie at the same time?
So while we're on hiatus, like I've been on hiatus since I came back. So that's when I can try to fit a movie in if I get one. But then once we go back, there's no way I can do anything else.
Have you developed this post self-talk of no worries, there's another audition, or then that wasn't meant to be? Or do you leave thinking, damn it, I really wanted that?
This is something that actors, talk about, where they think every job is their last, you know, and they say their goodbyes. You know, I had a good run. It'll be one commercial that shoots for 2 days, and they'll say, you know, that was, if I ever thought about being an actor, I got a taste of it, and I'll go on my way, and you know, so there's that feeling of like everything's, it's going to be your last. But that's why I think it's so important to find other ways of fulfillment. For that, for me, it's my animals, for you know, for other
people. Dogs.
I have a cat and a dog.
Aww. They get along.
They get along.
It's so myth that dogs and cats don't get
along. No, it just, you just have to work at it. So there's, or for me, it's like I said, my friends, it's the ocean, I love gardening. Like, I don't know, it's just.
I think it's having that, once you realize that no matter what you get, I think you have to get something you really want. Your pilot, the team, whatever, and then you realize, okay, this is not going to fulfill me, this is not the missing piece inside myself, and then you realize, oh wow, that's just something I have to manifest every single day, because all mm-hmm. these other things are going to come and go.
And then you feel good, and you feel good about yourself, because you have your own show, and then you go audition for a movie, and they say, no, she's great, but we're going to pass. You're like, what? Like, what? Okay, well then what, you know? So it has to come from something else, and I don't necessarily... That doesn't mean that sometimes I don't feel like I still don't know what that is, because that doesn't mean that sometimes I don't still wake up and I'm just in a funk and I just don't feel great about myself, or I don't feel like I'm moving ahead enough. I recently went on vacation, and there was one morning where I woke up and I felt like I was having a little bit of an anxiety attack, because I hadn't done anything. I hadn't worked out. I hadn't read any scripts. I was like, you know, laying on a beach drinking, and I felt really bad about myself. I got really mad at myself, and I don't know, I had to kind of talk myself out of that, of like, it's going to be okay. It's okay to have fun sometimes. It's okay to enjoy yourself a little bit. But there's this like weird idea of what you're supposed to be doing versus how much you can be doing versus... So that doesn't go away. I don't think it goes away. It's just managing it.
I totally relate to not even being able to enjoy a movie. Because you're like, there's a million things I should be doing right now. Like, I can't watch a movie.
No, there's so much TV I should be watching too, but I don't. Because I'm like, if I lay horizontally and enjoy myself, I am a loser. But that's not true.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm still figuring it out.
Do you think it's because we cut... I don't know, if maybe you're seeing on social media, people are doing things, your friends are doing things. Then we think that if I'm watching a movie or if I'm laying at the beach... the rest of the world's moving and improving, and I'm staying
here. Especially when I obviously follow a lot of actors on social media, not necessarily that I know, but I follow a lot of people that I look up to, and seeing, oh, this photo shoot, flying here, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's 10:30. I have not gotten up. I haven't showered in 3 days. I really start to beat myself up.
Yeah.
But
even at the top, those people, I'm sure they have their problems.
And well, and I remember calling Emmy from Shameless after, because we're still pretty close, and I called her, or I don't remember who called who, but she was just like, what's up, any auditions recently? And I was like, yeah, I've gotten turned down from every single one. How are you? And she's like, you know, that still happens to me, right? And I said, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know, I went all the way to the end for this movie that I thought I was going to get callback, you know, second callback producer session, whatever. And then they said I wasn't a big enough name. So it wasn't even something in my control. Right. It wasn't a creative choice. They said, you are the right creative choice. You are funny enough. You are, you know, had the moments of drama enough. We loved what you did with the role, but you're just not a big enough name. People won't go pay to see you.
Mm.
So they just straight offered the part to someone who didn't audition. Someone who hadn't even read the script. They just said, we'd love for you to do this. If you're in, here's, you know, $50,000, whatever. didn't even have to audition after I had gone all these lengths. That's happened multiple times to me. Anyways, Emmy said that still happens to me. That stuff is out of your control. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, all you can do is focus on the work. All you can do is make sure that you've done what you can with what's given to you, and that is the text. Other than that, it's out of your control.
One day, you're going to be the one they're calling saying, Perry Matfield, we want to give you this role, and then some other girl in her little apartment is going
to
be like,
it's starting to happen.
They gave it to Perry.
They're going
to... Because she's famous.
They've started sending me scripts. They're so bad. They're like the worst scripts ever.
Who started sending you scripts?
Like I've just now started to get to the point where scripts get sent to me.
Oh,
as like,
yes.
Do you, like, we'd love to have you if you want to do
it.
They are the shittiest, worst scripts ever. That's okay, but that was still,
you're
that still,
was still getting
the first
them.
For me.
Maybe you could, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you could add, you take it and then make your tweaks. We're going to change
There's
everything.
There's one right now that I'm actually really excited about. But ooh, I think it, I think... again, that doesn't go away. I will never be able to know exactly what's next. I think just with time, you get better at managing the in-between.
Well, thank you so much. I feel like this was absolutely fantastic. I love learning about other professions, other crafts, other mastery. And I truly was like just so amazed with everything you've done, everything you've accomplished. It's not easy at all. Like, it is not easy.
I have a long way to go.
At all.
I have a long way to go. But I think just like you, you know, what kind of work goes into your performance. And I think that's very similar. As much as you put in, the chances of getting something awesome out of that are pretty high.
Well, thanks, Perry. We're so happy that we had you on Hashtag Real Pod.
Hashtag Real Pod.
You're always welcome.
You know, if I learn even some when, new things,
once
I'm happy
you win
to
your Oscar, you owe us an episode, okay? Because we were here from
too.
The start.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Hashtag Real Pod. I hope you loved Perry just as much as I did. She's seriously so cool, so mindful, so down to earth. I'm so happy that you got all the way to the end. Make sure to give it 5 stars if you haven't already. And come back next Tuesday for another episode.